Thank you so much for joining us, Ian.
Pleasure.
Now, recently there was a report published by Medicare's Mental Health Reference Group. Can you tell us about this report and its recommendations?
Well, there are lots of people in Australia who'd like to get more psychological care, and there's lots of ways in which we could do that and the funding associated with that. So we could simply pay more and more psychologists, more and more psychiatrists, more and more other therapists to do more. But who would get that care, and would it be the care they need, and would it be the best way to spend that money is now the subject of great debate. So in a really good way in Australia, more people want to get care, but who benefits from what type of care, and the point you just made, where would they prefer to go and how would they prefer to get that care, needs to be, in our view, 21st century focused. Not necessarily what we would have done in 1970 or in 2001, but what we would do now, given the options that we've got through technology to actually provide much better care in combination with traditional face-to-face care.
Of course. And why is placing focus on face-to-face care a limited strategy for mental health?
It's a very 1950s kind of idea. You know, it's tied up in an idea that's what everyone wants and that's what everyone does best with. And most of our professions are most trained in that. And in a kind of way, sharing problems with people, we're very used to that. But in fact, a lot of people these days would prefer to start to access care through technology at a time of day that suits them, through the existing things that they've got available to them in the privacy, as you point out, of their own home, or at least starting that way. And they may be able to access better care that way. They may be better trained than just the individual you see. When you go to see an individual person, you don't actually know how much they necessarily know about the problem that you've got or how expert they are in treating that particular problem. So new technologies provide a whole lot of opportunities for getting expertise that's really relevant to you, close to you in ways that better suit you and maybe more affordable and more accessible than turning up to clinics. So across the whole of Australia, depending where you are, how much money you've got, what's available locally, your access to expert care may be in fact quite limited. And technology is one of the ways that we may be able to start to overcome that tremendous gap in access to care and access, importantly, to quality of care that we've really struggled to overcome in the past simply by expanding face-to-face services.
Of course. And now, what is online therapy and what types of online therapy services are currently available?
So people tend to, in one level, just reduce this to kind of apps. Is there an app for depression? Is there an app for anxiety? Is there an app for eating disorders, etc.? But the whole world developing here is more than just apps for individual conditions. And the more evaluation that goes on, the more we find out that, in fact, providing a variety of different levels of intensity of treatment, online therapies, as you refer to it, different kinds of assessments, different types of combinations, and working also in partnership with face-to-face care, we have the opportunity now to provide better care over longer periods and, more importantly, stuff that's actually most relevant potentially to you over time. So a lot of research and development has gone on in developing the best of what we had in face-to-face care and taking that online in ways that may be highly personalised to you and providing it to you no matter where you live. So as long as the technology holds up, which is a bit of a challenge in parts of Australia, you may be able to start to access care that you were never able to access before. Now, that may be on its own, but it may also be in combination with seeing other practitioners who are also assisting. It may be in combination with medication. It may be in combination with other sorts of assistance. So it's not necessarily one versus the other. In fact, in a lot of situations, it may well be a combination of what you can do online plus what you can do with other practitioners.
Yeah. Now, research indicates that for more complex mental health issues, team-based care is most effective. Now, how could this be facilitated online?
Right. So one of the other things about face-to-face care is traditionally getting stuck with just the one person or the one type of person. So in a lot of situations, if you take someone with an eating disorder or a complex mental health problem, they may need a variety of different practitioners, a doctor, a psychologist, a dietitian, for example, in the eating disorder area, somebody else who helps with education support or employment support. If they're all working to the same model, you, the user, you, the person with the problem, is putting the same information in, and they're all working across together using those new information systems, they work more as a team, and you, yourself, are an important part of that team. That's really different to the traditional go and see one kind of practitioner for one thing and then quite separately go and see another kind of practitioner for a different kind of thing who aren't actually working together. They're not sharing the same common digitally based information that you are providing and you, importantly, are controlling. And you are measuring the outcome, whether that's actually working with all of those practitioners. So team-based care is really important in complex situations, getting better outcomes. And team-based care is facilitated by new technology. Stuff where you're walking around with what is wrong with you and whether it's working is actually controlled by you in new information systems. And mental health is really well suited to this. There's a number of different dimensions we need to be measuring, not just what symptoms you've got, how you're feeling about yourself, whether you're functioning, a whole lot of other physiological factors, how you're sleeping, a whole lot of other factors can be measured at the same time and tracked over time to see whether they're improving. So teams work better when they're sharing the information together, and in fact, you're in charge of the information and sharing that with all of the people who need to be informed at the same time.
Wow, yeah, no, of course. And last but definitely not least, what actions need to be taken to include online therapies in, let's say, the government's response towards mental health issues?
Well, governments need to redefine what constitutes a service. So historically, a service is when you turn up to a clinic, Medicare or other insurance systems pay the provider in one way or another for turning up, and we call that a service. Up to this point, very few other things that we call a service. Occasionally, we've had various sorts of telehealth, various sorts of videos. Occasionally, we've paid for those services. But really, in the 21st century, the way in which we use new technologies needs to redefine what constitutes a service, and therefore what the government's prepared to pay for under Medicare, or private health insurance is prepared to pay for, or you yourself are prepared to pay for out of your own pocket. So, you know, services, a bit like hospitals and clinics and everything else, were thought of as very place-based things where you went to see a particular person. So the funding mechanisms that sit under it, what we pay for, needs to change in the 21st century to what's really valuable. And that will support then the investment and the development in these kinds of approaches. If at the end of the day, nobody pays for any of that, it's not really going to develop in a way that's really going to do great benefit. So what we need to think as we think about how we talk about Medicare in the future, how we talk about government expenditures, how we talk about what public hospitals do or public health authorities do, particularly state-funded, these different range of services need to be considered and how they come together to really support the earlier comment, teams to work together to meet your needs without you necessarily having to turn up to all those places 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, when it suits the providers, as distinct from something that actually suits you 24/7 wherever you are to get the best service you could possibly get.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ian. It's been fantastic talking to you about this.
Thanks for the opportunity.